Today, dear Sheikh, we'll be talking about some of the sins that we face on an everyday basis. Some of these sins, of course, they are dependent upon the environment we live in. For example, some sins are more prevalent in some countries in relation to other countries. Some sins are more prevalent, for example, in universities, in high schools, in clubs, in certain areas, and so on and so forth. One such sin that we are actually facing more and more today is the sin of masturbation. And this sin, of course, there are many reasons that we, inshallah, will be talking about today, but one of these reasons is the environmental factor, i.e. we are talking about the state of the hijab that one Muslim lives in.
Sure.
As a Muslim who lives in a society that's unfortunately constantly, I don't want to say developing, but regressing for the worse, moving further and further away from Islamic ideals, or no, I live in a Western country who doesn't even have these Islamic ideals, how can I, as a Muslim, avoid these sins, and specifically masturbation?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you mentioned, you know, we have a lot of ways for prevention of these grave sins that you mentioned for the masturbation. You know that I believe that first point is to understand that, you know, physically speaking, mentally speaking, you can find a lot of damage and harms for the body of human being. We have to understand that. Unfortunately, maybe some people are ignorant about the harms of the masturbation. Please check it online. You can find a lot of physicians that have been talking about this issue.
Right.
And they describe all harms attached to this masturbation. Let me count some of them. For example, it has depression and the weakness of the body. Weakness in having some kind of, you know, legal sexual relationship with your wife, you know,
right,
with your husband, with your partner in future, because it causes a lot of weakness in your body. You cannot have the normal sexual, let's say, intercourse with your partner in future. We cannot have that. And then we have the anxiety, you know, agitation, disturbance of mind, and so on and so forth. You may name that.
Exactly. We have actually psychologists who've even went out and termed, if you've heard perhaps of a porn addiction, they've actually called this a mental disorder.
Yes.
And as you've mentioned, it doesn't only cause physical problems, mostly it causes psychological problems for yourself. And there's very interesting studies that have been done on this, but also for your partner. Because one of these, we must talk about this in detail. I apologize if it gets a bit graphic, but we must talk about this, dear Sheikh.
Sure.
One of these problems that it poses for you and your future partner is that you will not be satisfied with what you will see.
Exactly.
Because you have developed a very specific interest, a fetish called what you want, that you can only achieve sexual satisfaction by seeing that or doing that.
Exactly. And this is a point.
Exactly. And an extension of that, you've also done it in a very specific manner. I do not want to go too much into detail, but for example, you skip some important part of the whole process with your partner and you just want to go to the end because your brain has been programmed in such a manner. And this, dear listeners, if they want to look further into this, they can go and look about how our brains have been affected by social media at large. We become we seek feedback and new stimuli, and we constantly want something new, a new distraction. Dear listeners, we cannot stress this enough. I apologize, dear Sheikh, for taking or interrupting you. We cannot stress this enough. Masturbation and this porn addiction doesn't only affect and harm yourself, it will be a disaster for your future relations as well.
Exactly. Thank you very much. It was a very nice explanation that you offer. You know that not only masturbation, all abnormal relationship that human being has like, for example, homosexuality and yes. different kind of, you know, unfortunate relationship that we have, all of that
right.
because
yeah.
they are abnormal, because lots of, you know, problems for your future, you know, relationship with your husband or with your, you know, wife.
Right.
You know that unfortunately I see, I went and checked online some people, some theologists, so-called theologists, maybe pseudo-theologists, they try to justify such abnormal, let's say, relationship. I don't know how these, you know, people...
What do they say, dear Sheikh?
Unfortunately, I do not want to, you know, go to the detail of that, but unfortunately, especially, for example, about the homosexuality,
right.
This is not the topic of our discussion, but unfortunately, they want to justify. They want to, you know...
make it lawful.
Make it lawful, and they want to support the idea. But I was wondering how these people, they call themselves theologists or scientist people,
right.
and unfortunately, they are ignorant about the harms and the, you know, disastrous, you know, harms that it has to the, even
right.
the body and the mental
we can
health
continue,
of the human being.
Yeah, we can continue talking about the harms for so long.
Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
We encourage our dear listeners, if you do not want to listen, take it from us. Also because you not want to continue only speaking about the harms, you want to talk how we can prevent it, you can simply go online and search and find out for yourself. Western atheist scientists, if you want to call them that, they've called this a mental disorder, porn
exactly.
addiction, masturbation. It is unhealthy. We have some who say, no, it can be healthy, but those are the minority. But now that we kind of get we kind of understand the danger of such a sin, such an act, dear Sheikh, what are the ways that we can employ to prevent falling into this sin, especially for Muslims, for example, who live in U.S., who are bombarded with people without hijab, but also even in our Islamic societies, in Arabic countries, in Iran, we see some stuff. How can we combat this?
First step for the prevention of that and is kind of, you know, let's say, cure for that is to have the decent marriage. Whether you can have the, you know, permanent marriage or temporary marriage within the Islamic, you know, laws, you can have that, and it is one of the best because you know, Noble Prophet Muhammad, he said that if you have marriage, then you can safeguard your religion. Okay.
Right, half of your religion.
At least half of your religion have been safeguarded. So now it is, maybe marriage is one of the best ways for the prevention of such disordainment.
Right, but for many people, marriage is not possible for multiple reasons. So what can we do for people who cannot get married, dear Sheikh?
If it is what was not possible for you, first step is to control your eyes. It is very important. Especially via the social media, as you mentioned, some of the unfortunate
Instagram,
problems.
Now we have program, TikTok. Before that, we had Vine, I believe. So many different programs.
Exactly. It is very important to have some kind of observation or control of your eyes. It is very important. And then not to eat too much food, okay? To try to make your... you know, your stomach a little bit, you know, empty of food and drinking.
Right. Of course, we're saying because people who have a lot of energy, they also have a lot of energy for some other activity.
Yes.
So by, we do not want to say starve yourself, but fasting, dear Sheikh, is actually a recommended way.
Exactly. Or fasting, if it was possible for you, because we have a lot of recommendations for fasting.
Right.
But if you do not want to fast, at least... eat a little food, not too much, not to fill
right.
your stomach and your bellies with lots of food.
And definitely don't eat sugary foods. And foods that...
oily, sugary, yeah.
Yes, that actually leads to an increase in lust.
Yes. Another point is to engage yourself with a study, okay? Going to mosque, Husseiniyas, and to have some kind of exercise, you know.
Right, physical exercise is also
physical exercise is very important. And try not to be alone. For example, go for the visitation of your, you know, brothers in faith. As I mentioned, go to the mosque. Go, for example, for the, you know, public services.
Right.
Just be in public. Try to, you know, talk to people. Be more sociable. Yeah.
So basically distract yourself.
Exactly. Just to engage yourself. And as you mentioned, distract yourself from the from thinking on sexual issues. And not to arouse yourself. Not to think about your about sexual issues. And try to distract your mind off the, you know, some sexual issues and, you know, whisperings of Satan. It is very important. How? By remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very important. Try to engage in remembrance of Allah.
Sheikh, we said, you said that one should try to engage in dhikr, in remembering Allah. Well, how does one go about this practically? Like, is it enough to just think about Allah, or is there a special dhikr one can recite? Or is it just remind yourself that Allah is watching? As simple as that.
Most important dhikr is as-salah, is to pray on time. It is wala dhikrullahi akbar. One of the greatest remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to pray on time. Your obligation, you know, your obligated prayers,
right.
Pray it on time. It is very important, okay, to have some kind of control on your sexual, you know, temptation. And another point is to remember that in different narration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those people who have masturbation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at them massively. And in the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not talk to them. Okay? ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَلَا يَنْدُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُذَكِّهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not talking to them, do not look at them mercifully, and do not purify them, and there is a great chastisement in their judgment. One of them is those people who have masturbation.
Dear Sheikh, we will have to continue this discussion another time because we are unfortunately out of time. I thank you for joining us today, dear Sheikh, and I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliin wa Husainin wa Hasan. Li Aliin wa Husainin wa Hasan. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Puraza, London.
Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters. Italy's outgoing government discussed an energy-saving plan during a council of ministers aimed to save up for this winter as part of efforts to reduce the country's dependency on Russian gas. Ecological Transition Minister Roberto Cingolani's plan includes limiting the use of heating in apartment blocks and public buildings. Italians will be demanded to turn down the central heating by 1 degree and turn it off for an hour at dusk every day starting in October. Italy is struggling with increased energy costs as wholesale gas prices have surged to historic levels across Europe since the start of the conflict in Ukraine. Italy and a few other countries, including Belgium and the Czech Republic, are among those seeking an EU price cap on gas for power, but some members of the bloc, including France, are against this option. An emergency meeting of European Union energy ministers will be held in Brussels on September 9 to reach a consensus on tackling skyrocketing power costs.
We have a big gas problem. Our families and businesses are struggling, and politicians keep talking about making more debt to alleviate the crisis. But that would just be a patchwork. Italy must leave the TTF, the virtual trading point for natural gas based in the Netherlands, and then we can discuss a new LNG strategy.
Meanwhile, the Italian Confederation of Enterprises, Confcommercio, has warned some 120,000 Italian service sector firms could go out of business over the next 10 months.
I costi dell'energia sono ormai la vera emergenza.
The rise of energy costs is the real emergency. Service sector firms will spend a total of 33 billion euros on energy bills, three times as much as in 2021. The government must speed up the procedures to access the funds of the EU Energy Recovery Fund and to make sure that the price cap on gas for power is adopted.
If energy costs keep rising at the current pace, Confcommercio, which has estimated that 370,000 jobs are at risk, is calling on the government to extend tax relief and to mandate that bills can be paid in smaller installments. The bad news for Italy doesn't stop there. Inflation jumped to 9% in August from 8.4% the month before. Financial analysts expect inflation to grow further, reaching 10% in October. Max Civili, Rome.
Palestinians have staged a rally in front of the Red Cross office in Gaza to mark the first anniversary of the Gilboa prison break, also known as the Freedom Tunnel operation. In September of last year, six Palestinian detainees escaped from the Gilboa maximum security prison in occupied northern Palestine. They managed to get out through an underground tunnel in the prison's drainage system. Hamas resistance movement has vowed to secure the release of Palestinian detainees.
On the first anniversary of the heroic Gilboa escape operation, we salute the six prisoners. Securing the release of all prisoners is a top priority for Palestinian resistance factions. The six escapees will be on top of the list of any future prisoner swap deals with the Zionist entity.
The Israeli regime violates all the rights and freedoms granted to prisoners by the Fourth Geneva Convention. The Israeli prison service keeps Palestinian inmates under deplorable conditions. The prisoners have also been subjected to systematic torture and harassment.
Palestinian prisoners escape from Israeli prisons because of the horrible detention conditions. They suffer from inhumane treatment, and hundreds of prisoners are held without charge or trial under the so-called administrative detention.
Palestinian prisoners regularly go on hunger strikes and protest at the regime's administrative detention policy and harsh conditions. Palestinians are calling on the international community to come out of its silence and help Palestinian prisoners.
We call on all international human rights organizations to step in and protect Palestinian prisoners. There are thousands of prisoners, including children and women, in Israeli custody. Palestinian prisoners are suffering from all forms of oppression inside Israeli jails.
Currently, around 5,000 Palestinians, including children and women, are languishing inside Israeli jails.
People here consider Palestinians held in Israeli jails as political prisoners and freedom fighters who continue to struggle under the watchful eye of the international community. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
Okay. Yemen is facing a fuel crisis as Saudi Arabia and its allies continue to block fuel ships in violation of a UN brokered truce and steal the country's crude oil. Yemen's Ministry of Oil has held a press conference in Sana'a to discuss the issue.
There are 13 oil basins in Yemen, of which only two are invested, namely Safar and Al Masila, at a rate of only 18%. These basins are located in Marib and Shabwa, and they are controlled by the Saudi-backed forces. They are continuously being looted, and this reflects negatively on the Yemeni economy. The systematic looting is one of the reasons for the years-long war against us by Saudi Arabia and its allies.
The ministry says the plundered oil is worth billions of dollars, which is enough to pay the suspended salaries of Yemeni employees. It held the Saudi-led coalition responsible for cutting off the salaries as the oil sales are being supplied to Saudi banks.
What the Saudi-led coalition is doing is the systematic looting of Yemeni oil and gas. The total amount that was looted from 2018 until July 2022 is about 130 million barrels, with a total value of about $9.5 billion. This money is enough to pay the Yemeni suspended salaries for 5 years. Unfortunately, they give the money from the plundered oil to the National Bank of Saudi Arabia and not to the Central Bank of Yemen.
Yemen's petroleum company warned of an imminent fuel crisis as Riyadh is still preventing 9 fuel ships from entering the country, which is a clear violation of the UN brokered truce. However, the world body remains silent toward the Saudi violations.
As Yemenis face a fuel crunch due to the Saudi blockade, they are urging the United Nations to force Riyadh to fulfill its commitments under the ceasefire agreement and to stop detaining fuel ships headed to the country. They say pillaging Yemeni oil also reveals why the Saudi-led coalition launched a war on their country. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
Did the UK authorities cover up the trafficking of 3 British schoolgirls who joined the notorious Daesh terror group back in 2015? That is the question now being asked following shock allegations revealed in a new book, which claims that Canadian intelligence officers informed British police that the girls had entered Syria with the help of a double agent, Mohammed Al-Rashid, who provided information to Canada on who he had smuggled to ISIL. One of the girls involved is the former UK citizen Shamima Begum, who is currently fighting for a return to Britain under the argument she was groomed by traffickers.
An inquiry has been demanded after it emerged that Canada knew about the teenager's fate but kept silent while the Metropolitan Police ran a frantic international search for the trio. The book has claimed that Canada privately admitted its involvement only when it feared being exposed and successfully asked British authorities to cover up its role. The scandal has now reopened the debate over stripping Begum of her nationality.
Following the latest allegations, we spoke with the Begum family lawyer for his reaction.
Now, the reason that was rather egregious for us was because we had asked specifically the Met Police at the end of March 2015 about updates regarding anything that could be coming of use from Al-Rashid, and they confirmed that they had no updates, and that clearly is not the case if what Richard Walton is saying is actually true in this book. This revelation about Canadian Security Services asset being one fundamental element that allowed these girls to cross over, well, that speaks against error. It speaks more to a concerted, securitized effort to have these girls go across, and that's actually true of the Canadians. The question remains of whether other security agencies who were working with these girls, with these handlers of this Canadian asset, who wanted the same thing. And that's a question, and that's why an inquiry is very important.
A spokesman for the UK government said they do not comment on operational intelligence or security matters, but choosing to remain silent won't be enough to quell the growing questions surrounding the way Western intelligence dealt with Daesh or their sophisticated smuggling operations, which saw so many Westerners slip through the net, including the young and vulnerable. Robert Carter, London.
Iran's Kish airline is back to Afghanistan. Afghan and Iranian officials have welcomed this in a ceremony at Kabul's International Airport and stressed the importance of closer economic cooperation between the two countries.
We're happy today and welcome Turkish Airlines. We have very good relations with the Islamic Republic of Iran and do our best to expand cooperation in the political, economic and social fields.
This airway can be very helpful in the economic and cultural fields. I think such flights will soon be welcomed by other airlines as well, and that makes transportation between the two countries easier.
Iran has always tried to help boost Afghanistan's economy, and the resumption of Kish Air flights to Afghanistan can be considered another positive step in that regard.
Considering the changes that have taken place in Afghanistan since last year, the number of people coming from Afghanistan to Iran has risen, and that demand should be met. This is not enough, and we need to do more, and such activities are very effective in boosting economic relations between the two countries.
In recent months, Afghanistan has been deprived of many sources of international aid and even its own financial assets held in the United States. Now, Afghanistan's cooperation with Iran appears to be vital to the country's economic growth.
Such economic activities in cooperation with other neighboring countries promise the improvement of Afghanistan's economy by providing job and investment opportunities for people and for businessmen. Abdullah Amirzadeh, Kabul.
On Thursday, Italy's outgoing government discussed an energy-saving plan during a Council of Ministers aimed to save up for this winter as part of efforts to reduce the country's dependency on Russian gas. Ecological Transition Minister Roberto Cingolani's plan includes limiting the use of heating in apartment blocks and public buildings. Italians will be demanded to turn down the central heating by 1 degree and turn it off for an hour at dusk every day starting in October. Italy is struggling with increased energy costs as wholesale gas prices have surged to historic levels across Europe since the start of the conflict in Ukraine.
Italy and a few other countries, including Belgium and the Czech Republic, are among those seeking an EU price cap on gas for power, but some members of the bloc, including France, are against this option. An emergency meeting of European Union energy ministers will be held in Brussels on September 9 to reach a consensus on tackling skyrocketing power costs.
We have a big gas problem. Our families and businesses are struggling, and politicians keep talking about making more debt to alleviate the crisis. But that would just be a patchwork. Italy must leave the TTF, the virtual trading point for natural gas based in the Netherlands, and then we can discuss a new LNG strategy.
Meanwhile, the Italian Confederation of Enterprises, Confcommercio, has warned some 120,000 Italian service sector firms could go out of business over the next 10 months.
I costi dell'energia sono ormai la vera emergenza.
The rise of energy costs is the real emergency. Service sector firms will spend a total of 33 billion euros on energy bills, 3 times as much as in 2021. The government must speed up the procedures to access the funds of the EU Energy Recovery Fund and to make sure that the price cap on gas for power is adopted.
If energy costs keep rising at the current pace, Confcommercio, which has estimated that 370,000 jobs are at risk, is calling on the government to extend tax relief and to mandate that bills can be paid in smaller installments. The bad news for Italy doesn't stop there. Inflation jumped to 9% in August from 8.4% the month before. Financial analysts expect inflation to grow further, reaching 10% in October. Max Civili, Rome.
The China Global Television Network and Chinese Public Opinion Institute have conducted a survey in Afghanistan and 24 global countries to assess the 20-year American war on Afghanistan.
Now, the Taliban will pay a price.
At the beginning of its presence in Afghanistan, the U.S. made a commitment to build a stable, strong, and prosperous Afghanistan, claiming it would establish democracy, fight against terrorism, and rebuild the nation. Nearly 79% of the Afghan respondents polled said the U.S. did not keep its promise, while 80% termed the U.S. war in their country a complete failure.
The U.S. never abided by its promises. Current disasters in Afghanistan have all resulted from the U.S. failures. We would witness better days today if the U.S. hadn't occupied our country. 20 years ago, the Taliban were ruling Afghanistan, and today they have control again. So what did the years of U.S. war and huge expenses change in our country? The U.S. claimed to bring prosperity in Afghanistan. Instead, it destroyed everything.
During the war, Afghanistan faced severe challenges with regards to security, economy, and people's livelihoods. Some 56.6% of Afghan respondents said the U.S. left the Afghan economy worse than it was in 2001. Yet 80% of global respondents believe that the causes of local terrorism still exist in the war-ravaged country.
I had been in Afghanistan through the U.S. invasion. I agree with the results of the poll. The U.S. came to our country claiming to counter terrorism and help the Afghan economy grow, but practically none of them materialized. The U.S. institutionalized fraud and abuse. As a result, today Afghans don't have food to eat and terrorism threats are rising.
Meanwhile, 68% of the respondents said the U.S. war in Afghanistan has caused the U.S. to continue to lose its credibility with the international community. Some 65% of those surveyed in Afghanistan said they believe neighboring countries, including Iran, Pakistan, and China, play a key role in the rebuilding of the war-battered nation. 70% of global respondents described Washington seizing Afghanistan's assets as pure looting. They called on the U.S. to return Afghans' money. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
On the 44th anniversary of the disappearance of Imam Musa Sadr, Lebanese Parliament Speaker Nabih Berri stressed that the kidnapping of the prominent Shiite cleric was a crime that is a sovereign Lebanese case.
The failure of the current Libyan authorities to cooperate with the Lebanese authorities is considered to be collusion. The Arab League must press the authorities to cooperate.
Commenting on the issue of the demarcation of the country's southern maritime border with the Israeli occupying regime, the House Speaker accused the U.S. envoy of buying time.
We will not concede our rights, nor will we concede our sovereignty, and we will defend our land, sea, and resources with all our might. The ball now is in the court of the U.S. The U.S. envoy Hochstein said that he will be absent for 2 weeks, but 1 month has passed and we have not received an answer.
People from all over the country came to the southern town of Tyre to commemorate the man who was seen as a hope for the oppressed and a reason to stop internal strife.
I don't have much to say except that I'm touched by all this love for Imam Sadr. May God uncover his fate.
Imam Sadr resembles the light, the beam of light that at a certain time, in the midst of darkness, came to Lebanon and led Lebanon and the Lebanese to a new life of accepting the other, of cherishing the other, life of victory.
You see, you can have tears when you see all these people are coming. Just because that person is a very exceptional. He came as a blessing from the sky, I would consider. In the middle, amongst of all, when Lebanon was suffering and still suffering.
The only verified fact concerning Imam Sadr's case was that he arrived in the Libyan capital of Tripoli at the end of August 1978 with two companions, Sheikh Mohammed Yaqub and journalist Abbas Badreddin. Back then, the regime of Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi had claimed that the three men boarded a flight to Italy on August 31st. But al-Sadr and his companions were never seen again.
Many had hoped that the fall of former dictator Muammar Gaddafi would reveal the secrets about the disappearance of Sayyid Musa Sadr. But those secrets were buried with the Libyan dictator, which led to a dead-end investigation. Maryam Saleh from Tyre, South Lebanon.
This is IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
Dehlavier missile, its range and anti-armor capabilities. Despite significant advances in both aerial and maritime warfare, the ground war still retains a special significance and plays a decisive role in determining the outcome of modern warfare. In this program, we will take a look at a new Iranian-built missile with an impressive range and anti-armor capabilities, the Dehlavie missile. Please stay with us. Military hardware which can play a decisive role in ground warfare includes tanks, armored personnel carriers, and armored vehicles. Thus, missiles which can penetrate armored vehicles and tanks, destroying them, are of special significance in ground warfare. As technology advances and more formidable tanks and armored personnel carriers are built, so too more sophisticated and deadly missiles with armor-piercing capabilities are being developed. A new generation of armor-piercing missiles have been developed with powerful warheads and the ability to be guided to their target from a long distance away. One such missile is the Iranian-built Dehlavie missile, which, considering its armor-penetrating capabilities, is classified as one of the most powerful anti-armor missiles of its kind in the world. Stay with us for a brief look at this state-of-the-art, armor-piercing, Iranian-built missile. The Dehlavie missile is a guided anti-armor missile which has been developed by Iran's Defense Industries Corps, which is part of Iran's Defense Ministry. The missile was officially unveiled at a ceremony on 8th of July 2012, presided over by Iran's defense minister at the time, Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi. The missile's name, Dehlaviye, is derived from the place where Dr. Mustafa Chamran was martyred. Dr. Mustafa Chamran was an Iranian scientist who served as the first defense minister of the Islamic Republic of Iran after the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, and he was also a member of the Iranian parliament, the Majlis. The Dehlaviye missile has many similarities to the Russian armor-piercing Kornet missile, and is considered to be one of Iran's most powerful armor-penetrating missiles. In recent years, the missile has become operational and has been used by both the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC, and the Iranian army. According to data provided by Iran's defense ministry, the missile has an effective range of between 100 to 5,500 meters. The Dehlaviye missile has a very modern laser guidance system, which makes it resistant to all kinds of electronic warfare measures. According to former defense minister, Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi, the missile has a very powerful warhead. It has the ability to penetrate thick armor. It is propelled by a powerful rocket engine, and it is light enough so that it can be carried by individuals on the battlefield. All these characteristics make the Dehlaviye missile a unique, powerful, and effective weapon of war. The Dehlaviye missile has been tested and proven to be effective against all sorts of tanks and armored personnel carriers. The missile can also be used against all moving and stationary armored targets, as well as helicopters and even vessels at sea. Thus, just like the Tufan, the Tundar, and the Tusan family of missiles, which have also been developed by Iran's defense ministry, the Dehlaviye missile should also be considered as a multi-purpose missile. The Dehlaviye missile has a total weight of 22.7 kilograms and its warhead weighs 6.8 kilograms. The warhead is a two-stage warhead with the ability to penetrate 1,200 millimeters of hard armor. The range of the missile is reduced to 3,500 meters if a night vision system is used for launching the missile. Also, in a special ceremony in July of 2021, a new, more powerful and deadly version of the Dehlaviye missile was unveiled in a parade of the IRGC forces. The new missile has an improved range of 8 kilometers and can penetrate 1,300 millimeters of hard armor. And just like its older model, it is laser-guided. The older version of the Dehlaviye missile is coded 1M133M9, and the new version of the Dehlaviye missile is coded 2M133M9. The missile has a speed of 250 meters per second.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamati. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم.
السلام علیکم و رحمت الله.
Dear listeners and audiences, we are here in Youth Station.
This is IRIB English Radio.
And we're really glad that you're here
to talk about
our new topic of today.
Yes, it's all a pleasure to be here once more.
Me too, with Sister Asma and I am Vita.
It's too good to be here with you again, Vita.
Yes, for me too.
Well,
our new topic of day is...
It's very interesting.
Yeah, exactly, for me too, because this year I passed the university entrance examination.
Yes, you have the answer to these questions.
Yeah, exactly. And today we're going to talk about our future.
Mm-hmm.
Why we're going to, for example, apply for a good university, and why, for example, do we consider the financial points of, for example, a job or something.
Why do we study, Vita?
Nice question. This is a hard question because
$1 million question.
You know, because for example, when I was 10 years old or something, my family, my teachers, everybody around me just told me that you have to be a doctor because if you do anything else, you will just lose your talent, or it's a pity.
You'll go wasted.
Yeah, exactly. It's a pity if you, for example, become an artist. You have to become a doctor because we need a doctor. And this is an important job. And I was like, okay. And it was like a brain mesmerism. And I was mesmerized by that. Okay, I will do whatever you tell me. And
so they compelled you into being
exactly.
a doctor.
And I started it. I accept it. But I think nowadays, the youth generation won't accept it that easily.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to choose our own way, and our own way is not always studying.
But I'm going to tell you something. They are going to pick to be doctors. You know why?
Why?
Because they can make too much of money.
I know.
They would do that for money.
You know, it was a nice point, but everything is not money. And also, I want to add something. If you are studying for money, mm-hmm. To being a doctor is not the only way you have. Because nowadays, we have start jobs, you know, we have many different kind of jobs that will have a good financial point.
But being a doctor is
easier,
a more
maybe.
Assured way of attaining that money.
But I don't agree with that.
I know, because you're at the very beginning of your journey.
I am, but this journey is too long.
Yeah.
It takes a life, really, out of me. And I have to study for 20 years to become a surgeon, and it's not something easy. It's not something that anybody wants to do that.
Of course it is not.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Well, I would say, as for me, I have always loved my study. You know, there is a connection between me and my books and my pamphlets and my pencils.
But where does this passion come from?
This passion comes from learning.
So, human, you have this road, you know, and then you become passionate. It wasn't like that. You was passionate about something, and mm-hmm. then you go through it.
No, even before going to school,
mm-hmm.
I was in love with going through too much of books and just, you know.
Like your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That just encourages
you to
study.
Yes, my dad has a big library, so it was something related mm-hmm. to the environment. But at the very same time, I think a personal characteristic does have a role in that.
Exactly. But love is not anything. You know, for example, when I'm asking you that, why would you study? Exactly, love is not what I want to hear because it's somehow cliche.
Yeah.
And, you know, I cannot accept it.
Yeah, because you're a modern girl and I'm an old-fashioned youth from the other generation.
No, I'm not. How old are you?
Do you expect me to say that?
Yes, of course. I'm here to hear that. But the thing is, I cannot tell that I love my way. I don't say I don't
like
it.
So you don't love
it? No, at all. No, it's not about love, exactly. It's like...
It's about what, exactly?
It's about kind of habit. Studying.
Oh, yeah, that's another point.
It's
very
a part of me right
yes.
now. I cannot leave it. It's kind of drug.
Mm-hmm.
I'm addicted to that.
Oh, yes, that's very true. Addiction.
Yeah. And this addiction can be destructive
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
Because there is no inner... emotion about it. This is like a way that is made before me, and now I have to choose it. There is obligation.
Mm-hmm.
And This is nothing I can do about it.
And you know, Vita, there's another fact. As human beings, okay, until I'm crossing the age of 20, I would love my major. I would do everything out of love. But as I get older and as life happens to me, there's another factor that I should take care of, which is making money. Now it is no longer, I mean, after you cross the age of 20 and after you start to think about your life, what am I doing in my lifetime? What am I made for? And what is my mission in my life? There are some other factors that is your living, because not all the people have the blessing of having a family to support them.
Exactly.
Some people are forced to take care of themselves.
But sometimes this support is not a blessing. When you're,
I know
you
what
have
you mean,
a personality
yeah.
that will, you know, search for independency.
Of course.
You will have many problems with your family.
Yeah.
Because you want to be independent. And, for example, medicine is not a good way to be independent in young age. You have to get older and older. And when you become, for example, 35 years old, after a long time, you can be somehow independent. But nowadays, I think the new generation want to be independent in
a younger age, yes. When they're 17,
exactly. Even younger.
It's very awe-inspiring, really. Yes, just as you said it. So as life is very difficult, it's a very difficult journey. We have to study. Because if you do not study, I guess you do not have a social status as well.
Exactly.
A good, respectable social
and
status.
Another aspect of this road is money.
Yeah.
I don't say money is not important. Actually, money is important for me.
There was a time,
because,
you know, when we were kids and there was this topic at a school.
You money or science.
They were mocking us.
Yeah,
weren't
exactly.
they?
Exactly, money, you know, because you have to be powerful to change. When you don't have the power to affect people, you cannot do anything.
Yes.
And this power is defined by money nowadays.
So now we're getting to the very pinnacle of the story. Let's leave it here and go for a short break. Dear listeners, thank you for staying with us. After a short break, we'll be back. Stay tuned. Welcome back. This is Youth Station. Welcome back to your own home.
We are talking about a hot topic today.
Yes.
That is about why you study, why we study or something
the
like that.
The goals of life. Why
and
we do
money.
All these things. Yeah. Why we make money, why we study, why we go through too much
is money that much important even to do anything to achieve that?
Anything? No.
Of course, no.
Anything? No.
Yeah. But it depends on the personality,
depends,
because
yes.
we have many people, even in this country, in any part of the world.
Human beings, you know?
Yeah. That this greed inside ourselves
will
make us to do anything to achieve what we want.
Exactly.
And when, for example, you choose to have money and you have the greed of money, you would do anything to achieve it.
And it's very dangerous.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to be a dangerous
game. Human
being
is dangerous. We
yes.
are like beasts.
Yes, we talked about it. You know, we are not beasts, actually.
we
have
a beast
in
inside
ourselves. Of us. Yes. There is an angel and a devil inside of us. It depends which one you pick to be your companion for the rest of your life.
You cannot, for example, deny the fight that we have
course.
All this in ourselves.
Who on their right mind would ever say that there's
I
no fight?
I saw, for example, some people that think they are angels, but actually, they chose the devil part.
Yeah.
And they claim like, no, I am an angel. What are you telling me?
Mm-hmm.
But they're not.
Yeah, that's very true. So we study because we want to learn.
Because we want money.
Well, let's say that at the very
last words.
Yes. We study because we have a passion for studying. Because that would give us more developed characteristics. Is there anybody who can claim that a study is not going to affect to their character?
Yes, there are many people that just they're like, okay, why after you study, you will be nothing with this study, and you can do anything else. You can, for example, I don't know, I do not agree with that sort of people, but somehow there is a laziness in ourselves, and for just responding to this laziness, we will say anything if we don't think about what we're telling. And this is the problem of these people, I think.
Yeah, and there are some people who can get money without studying.
Yes, there are.
There are plenty of those people, and there are also those people who study and do not get any money.
Exactly. But that doesn't mean that studying is the main major or the main factor to chip money.
Yeah.
And I don't know why all these people want to relate something.
Yes, I just wanted to shed light upon that fact.
Yeah, it's very relatable.
Yeah.
It depends on you, how you want to go through this road and how you want to try, exactly.
Yeah, because there are some people who have studied a lot. They have been doctors, engineers, and yet they are painters, they're poets, and they like their that sense of poetry in themselves more than the sense of medicine that exists in them.
Exactly. I don't tell you that you shouldn't, for example, choose a thing, I mean, choose a factor to study. But studying is a part of our life, you know, from the 7 year old, when you are 7 years old, you have to study, and then you have to again study, and you cannot quit it. Even in nowadays society, for example, if you say, I have diploma, for example, you're 40 years old, and you say, I don't have academic
study, yeah.
They look at you like, oh my God, how?
And, yeah, yes,
but
for
example,
true.
When it was the old time, it was okay to just be able to read
just
and
as
write.
I told you, people will lose their respect, mostly actually we're talking about the general conditions because the exceptions are not going to break the rules. Generally, people would look at them with an eye down and then they would lose their respect for the
How
person
about
who
you? Would you look down on someone who just doesn't study?
Of course not. No, because I have seen some very honorable people who have never studied a word
but
at a school.
But something deep in your heart, you think like, okay, but for example, if you would study, you would be a better person. You have this southern, I'm sure about it.
No, trust me.
No.
I told you, I'm an old-fashioned person. In my society, even those people who are illiterate can be great human beings.
I know that. But for example, if you see someone that is illiterate but is a really honored person, is a really respectful person, you're like, okay, but
what if they
know,
have a
what
study?
If?
Yeah.
What about this?
I usually don't go for the conditions. I told you,
Yeah, you did.
I just deal with the things as they are. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the best way to deal with
this
them.
Is a
so
nice
just
mindset.
we were talking about money, study, and everything that we do in our life to give meaning to our life. At the end of the day, when we are going to conclude our discussion, I would say that out of all these drudgeries that we take, out of these all of these hard workings that we go through, we want to give meaning to our life. Because imagine that you're going to live for 60 years, 70 years doing nothing. Then life has got no meaning.
Yeah. And you know, days of life pass like clouds.
Yeah.
You cannot stop this passing life.
That
you
is
cannot
very
stop
true.
This flow. But even you cannot just say that, okay, I will go with this flow. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's all the time that we have had for today's episode. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us.
I really enjoyed our conversation.
Of course. I hope the listeners enjoyed it as well. It was, as always, so blessing to be with you and with the audience. Thank you, Vita.
Thank you, dear
listeners. I hope until another session, you would do everything great and fine in your life and God protect
you. Best wishes for you.
Yeah, best wishes. Thank you for listening.
From the heart of beautiful Iran.
IRIB English Radio.